I'm Pat Callahan.
And I'm Joe Torti, and today on a Sixth Sense edition of This Week in Pro Football.
Week six is here, Joey, and the long march begins. Three road games versus winning teams, and three home games versus more winning teams. It won't be easy.
After both teams beat up last week on New York dead people, the Birds travel to the north at what might be the wrong time to face Captain Kirk and the Vikings.
The league is seeing more sacks than Fifth Avenue. And are these quarterback salaries really worth it?
Paul Nolan sees some winners. G. Cobb on how to beat Kirk Cousins. McCormick is a fantasy 666. And the pick segment thinks it's alive right now on This Week in Pro Football.
This Week in Pro Football.
Don't make me sock you.
This Week in Pro Football.
Leave it up. We ain't on three. One, two, three.
The hardest hitting football show in Philadelphia.
Guests.
Featuring weekly correspondent Sal Palantonio, taking you inside the Eagles and the entire NFL.
Yes,
you play with trust, you play with confidence, and you play physical.
It's This Week in Pro Football.
Are you ready for some football?
And now, Pat Callahan.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Week 6 of This Week in Pro Football on 97.5, The Fanatic, live from the fabulous sportsbook here at the Parks Casino in Bensalem, PA. Good morning to my radio partner, Joey Torti.
Good morning, Pat. Everything's fabulous here, as it always is, except for, as we said, the pick segment, which thinks it's live. Tyler Zuli's doing well. We're all topsy-turvy here. We've got to get it on track this week.
I know we do. Torti decked out today. He's got the white shirt and the tie on. Unbelievable.
I dressed up for you, Pat.
Joey's first date coming up later today, and it's very exciting. We're all very proud of him.
And a job interview after that. Got to get my red power tie on.
That's right. But anyway, it's great to be here at the Sportsbook. We'd like everybody to come up and join us. We got Eric, Kevin, and Mike here from the station. And the fabulous Fanatic Wheel is back, Joey. It's back.
And it's full. It's full of stuff.
Yes.
When we last left the wheel, it was depleted completely.
I know.
So there's stuff this time.
So get here before the big rush shows up, which would be any minute now. I'd like to see some people come and see us, though, right? I mean, we have millions of listeners, don't we? Somebody should come and see us.
Well, yeah, especially since, you know, you laid out how well I'm dressed today. I mean, I would think that would merit something.
Come see Joey T. He's all scrubbed up. All right, so well, listen. Now we're here. All right, we're done. The preseason is over, Joe.
Yes.
Except for New England, okay, where their preseason just continues and
forever.
Rolls along. And the Patriots off a tough Thursday nighter against the Giants. Thank God they've got the extra 3-4 days now to gear up for a Monday nighter against the Jets. So New England, you know, God bless them. You know, that brutal schedule theirs continues. But for the Eagles, it takes a nasty turn for the worse.
Well, especially sitting here in Philadelphia, it looks all the worse, right? Where you're looking at what the next six games look like, and the next three games in particular on the road for Philadelphia, what that looks like relative to the gauntlet of contenders that New England has had to deal with in their schedule. And that's the way that it looks like it's going to continue. I have no idea how a Super Bowl winner ends up with this schedule, outside of the fact that the AFC just stinks.
Some of it is happenstance. I mean, they play the NFC East this year, New England does, and they haven't played the Eagles in Dallas yet. They've played the Giants and the Redskins, and they've played a lot of division games early, which is the greatest division of football to play in. So,
correct.
You know, so, and of course, they catch Pittsburgh on opening night, and the Steelers are way, way less than advertised, even before they lost Ben. So it's all just worked out for them, but okay. We're here in Philadelphia, and JT, what we're talking about here now is the Eagles starting a three-game junket here at Minnesota, at Dallas, at Buffalo. And, I mean, this is obviously, we've been talking about this, you and I, the last few weeks, that the rubber, how many cliches can I come up with now in the next
cram them in.
The rubber is about to meet the road here, and Philadelphia 3-2. They can kind of write their own ticket here if they can, let's say, you know, if they come out of this thing 2-1. And, you know, and really, if I wanted to dot the I, the loss would be in Buffalo because that's a non-conference loss. I think they'd be in pretty good shape.
Well, and you talked about the preseason being over. That's totally true now. And I said that it's going to take all of September for the Eagles to figure out who they are because you're not playing a whole lot of starters in the preseason, things like that. We're going to learn a lot about who the Eagles are. You talk about punching their ticket if they're able to go 2-1. The Dallas game is the one must win on the entire trip. you know, conceivably you could go 1-2. It wouldn't be great, but as long as you beat Dallas, then you're not dead in the water. But a 2-1 trip kind of sets yourself up for a pretty interesting return home, because it doesn't get any easier after that. But this has kind of been the stretch that people have circled on their calendars dating back to when the schedule came out.
That's a big circle, though. I mean, we were talking before the show, and you guys were more focused on three-game road trips. Incidentally, Tim McManus reported on ESPN.com that the reason why the Eagles, I think the Eagles are the only team with a three-game road trip this year.
I think so, yes.
And it was done because the NFL thought that the Phillies were going to be in the playoffs, so they'd move them out, even though they don't even play in the same stadium. I mean, couldn't we have worked that out a little bit, you know, between Thursday and the two windows on Sunday and Monday? But anyway, that's why the Eagles are on this three-game junket. But I'll tell you, Joey, when they get back after this three, and it gets even rougher, even though they're at home.
Well, they're facing teams that you would say are better than the teams that they're facing on the road. Chicago's always given them a great game. New England certainly looks like, well, I don't know. What does New England look like? I'd like to say they look like a Super Bowl contender, but then again, they're playing the Sisters of the Poor week in and week out, so what do I really know about New England? But and Seattle, of course. So conceivably, it looks like that is going to be kind of the forging moment.
Oof.
But this three-game trip, I mean, you could be buried before that if you don't take care of business here.
I mean, in the NFC, you know, one of the things we're going to talk about here is how absolutely wide open it has become after only 5 weeks. I mean, you've got, you know, you have very few teams, Joe. I mean, if you look at it, the Giants, the teams are out of it. Let's declare the teams that are out of it. In the East, it's the Giants and the Redskins. In the North, I don't think anybody's out of it, right?
No, not really.
Right.
Yeah.
In the South, I'd say Atlanta is dead.
Solidly out, yeah.
And in the West, it's only Arizona.
Yes.
Right? So you got four teams out of 16 are out of it. I mean, you got a absolute, it's a total free fall. You know, a free for all, I should say. So, so even like Minnesota, this game tomorrow, it's going to have big implications in terms of conference record, head-to-head record.
Yeah, absolutely. And you look at Minnesota generally across the board, they have been one of the less consistent teams, period. You know, can they pound the ball? Can they pass the ball? Like, are their weapons happy? There have been all kinds of questions about Minnesota, even as their season has not gone into the tank here. They're going to look at this Eagles game, which, by the way, the Eagles fans, the Eagles team, seem to have rent-free space in the minds of every Minnesotan. I think that's the term. But that is going to be a make-or-break game for them, because it's kind of a game. You thought that the Atlanta game would be a deciding factor in saying, is this a good team or a bad team? Turns out Atlanta stinks. This is a team, the Eagles, that are going to be a pretty good litmus test for who the Vikings are as a contender.
That's true. That much is true, but let's do a little homework here, Bags. Our social media addresses are?
At TWIPF, Pat gets you connected to Pat Callahan. I'm at Joe Torti. Tyler Zuli is at Tyler Zuli.
Yeah, let's get any conversation you want to have on Twitter. Tweet Joey or me up, and we'll talk about it on the air. We're also a podcast, right? 975thefanatic.com. You can check us out that way.
Yeah, hour by hour as well. So if there's a particular segment that you're looking for, a guest, or I don't know why you'd want my picks at this point, but if you're looking for those, you can go to the specific time in the show and get those. And obviously, we know that you can't always wake up on a Saturday morning, but if you want to catch our show a little bit later in the day, no problem. Just check it out, 975thefanatic.com.
All right, and a little, we are 15 minutes short today because my alma mater, Temple, playing another one of their arch rivals, Memphis, today.
Great historical rivalry there.
Temple's getting some great weather, though. I love seeing the 30,000 crowds now. I mean, really. I mean, Remember, it used to be, believe me, when I used to go to the vet, it was 6,000. You know, so
times have changed.
Yeah, so it's great to see Temple. It's an odd thing to see Temple football is now better than Temple basketball. I never thought I'd live to see that.
Kind of a bizarre situation there, but I'm sure the hoops team's trying to change that as well.
Well, we got the usual suspects here. We got Nolan at the bottom of this hour, and you know, degenerates like Tyler Zuli, pay attention there. We'll talk some NFC East talk with Paul and a couple other those goofball ATS stats that always pop up that I love to run by Paul. We got Gary Cobb at the top of the next hour, Jim McCormick at the bottom of the next hour, and then, of course, Sal Powell at 11. All right, guys, how about some overreactions here? Week 5 overreactions. We're going to start with Joey T.
The one that I have is Kansas City. Is the book out on how to defeat that team? Did the Colts show a blueprint? Because I've got to say, even banged up and with Tyreek Hill perhaps coming back this week, Chiefs looked really, really mortal for the entire game. It didn't seem to me like the Colts got lucky there.
Yeah, I would agree. As an overreaction, I would say no, it's not. I think there is a blueprint there, and it's going to have to dovetail with mine. My overreaction is Pat Mahomes coming back to the field after week one. It looked like he's going to throw 50 again, right? But you know, last couple weeks, you know, one touchdown against Detroit, and still 300 yards, and then 300 yards again, just the one score against the Colts. So, yeah, I'd say maybe a blueprint's forming here, which is just pound the defense. The defense is not good again. I mean, come on, Andy. When's somebody going to hold Andy accountable for the fact he can't put a good defense together, right? Remember the AFC title game last year?
Yep.
Could not stop the Patriots from running the ball. And he still can't.
Mahomes didn't get a chance to possess it in overtime. People were talking about the NFL like it's a bad rule. If the defense did their job, held them to three, you'd get a chance.
Just stop. So I'd say that that is not an overreaction. Tyler?
You know, guys, I think sometimes that we're all on the same wavelength, which is either a really good thing or a really bad thing, because I also have a Chiefs overreaction. So I'll discuss your guys, and then I'll get into mine in just a second. I think that mine parlays into yours by saying that Andy Reid gets out-coached by better coaches consistently. So to say that the Chiefs are going to have to almost overcome Andy Reid, which is a little odd to say considering he might be a Hall of Famer, that might be true, is the fact that they're regressing because they're playing coaches that may be better than him. And I think at this point, Frank Reich's a better coach than Andy Reid.
I'm not arguing that. Are you?
In a big spot? Certainly not. I mean, it's...
Well, there's only 16 spots, right? So which one isn't a big... I mean, right? So, I mean...
Right, that's true.
I would say that, yeah, and I would... Please don't say Hall of Famer Andy Reid. Okay, Tyler, easy on that throttle.
I mean, probably, though.
What?
He probably is going to get in. I'm not saying should or shouldn't. I'm just, you look at the numbers, I'm like, he's probably in.
I don't know. It's funny how we measure players by, well, how many Super Bowl rings do they have? How many Super Bowl rings? But we let the coaches off the hook, right?
And as long as you just last.
Yeah, but it's fun. It's even then how we treat coaches differently, right? Would you say that Marty Schottenheimer is a Hall of Fame coach?
I wouldn't.
Yeah, but meanwhile, he has a sterling coaching record.
Really good. Yeah, exactly.
But Andy, everybody loves the guy, I guess because he looks like a giant pitcher of Kool-Aid. So maybe that's why everybody likes him. You know,
it
but
could be.
I don't know. But Tyler is right. I mean, the Chiefs just consistently, I'm trying to find their team offense is always here. It's in the top three, of course. Now we go to team defense. I'm trying to find the chefs. Maybe I should look near the bottom, huh?
Well, that still looks like your offensive page. To be believed.
Joey, right on top of the game. I don't know where my defense
I
is.
I do what I can.
But anyway, I know they've got to be near the bottom in terms of team defense. I mean, that would be totally shocking if they weren't. It's more shocking that I don't have the page here. But their defense, he's always outcoached. And he was outcoached again because the Colts dominated the two lines of scrimmage, right?
Well, and we've seen that in the past. When the Colts are good, that is the way that they win. So it's not all that shocking that that would be the case. I'm trying to find these team stats for you for the Chiefs. Unfortunately, a lot of these websites have stopped ranking them because they don't want to, you know, embarrass teams. But you look at what they're doing, allowing 335 total yards of offense. That's 20 yards more than their offense is generating. So they're allowing a ton of yards.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. All right, so that's, I guess, our overall overreactions, all Chiefs overreactions.
I've got another one for one of the better teams, and it's about New England. I don't think it's that much of an overreaction to say that New England's a Super Bowl contender, but I see this team winning as many games as they did during the 18-1 season. I see this team winning 18 games.
Do you really?
You think that's an overreaction?
Yeah, I do. I definitely do. I think they're winning a lot of... They're winning because the schedule is unbelievably easy. I mean, they're banged up, Joey, right? They're receivers. And they got Edelman now. I mean, I don't know the severity of Josh Gordon's latest injury.
Didn't look good, but they just listed him as questionable.
I know. But I think New England is really now, I'd say a healthy dose of their 6-0 record is because Pittsburgh, Miami, Jets, Buffalo, Washington, Giants. So it eventually toughens up for them. In November, at Baltimore, they get a bye, at Philadelphia, Dallas, at Houston, and then home to Kansas City. I mean, that is their tough stretch. So, no, I'm not. I don't see New England getting out. I see New England 13-3 again.
Okay. Tyler?
Yeah, I mean, 18 might be a lot, but there's a conceivable way that it could be 16 because, like you guys mentioned, they still have the Jets and the Dolphins each once. They get to play the Browns still. They play the Cincinnati Bengals. The real test is going to be the Kansas City Chiefs, I guess, on December 8th. But if they can go 13-3 and get a bye, going 3-0 in Foxborough or 2-0 in Foxborough and winning a Super Bowl 13-6 is not out of the question for this Patriots team.
And that Chiefs defense, 25th overall in the league, Pat Callahan, for you.
There you go. Thank you, Joey.
25 out of 32.
Give it 610-632-0975 is the number here. And let's get started, Joey. We're talking about some... are the Eagles catching Minnesota at a bad time? And Minnesota is a streak team. I'm sorry. Kirk Cousins is a streak quarterback, in my opinion. He is. He gets hot. He's very good. But when he's not, he's very bad or he's ordinary. Well, now the question is, he had a nice week last week. And if this guy gets in a rhythm, he can dice you, right?
Well, our experience here in Philadelphia has been watching him carve up the Eagles. So that kind of, I think, colors our opinion a little
bit. Exactly,
because
right.
He's been so good
against Philadelphia. That's right. So we'll get to the phones now, 610-632-0975. I'll hit you with a trivia question. If you want it, you'll receive a $25 gift card to Chickies and Pete's, your favorite local sports bar and crab house, now every Monday night starting at 6. All you can eat, Chickies, wings, and world-famous crab fries for just $19.99. ChickiesandPete's.com for details.
So let's lead things off with Kilroy in North Carolina. You're on This Week in Pro Football. Good morning, Kilroy.
What's good? What's good with you, buddy?
Hey, man, what's up?
Got one thing, man. Just trying to figure out what you think about the game tomorrow when your Eagles come play my Vikings.
It's going to be a good one, man. We've been talking about it all week. This is going to be a really, really good game, and it's kind of a measuring stick for both teams because I don't think that Minnesota nor Philadelphia has really proven anything yet this year.
Yeah, you got a point. But I'm going to tell you this. Carson Wentz never been to Minnesota. He never started a game there. So I'm just letting you know it's going to be a different format for him. And guess what? He's going to get punished. So take it or leave.
Yeah, you think so?
He's going to get what?
I know so. Punished, I know so. He's going to get punished. Let me know now, buddy.
I don't know, Kilroy. You're a lot of trust. On any given day, any day of the week, are you taking Wentz or Cousins?
Well, we're not talking about any day of the week. We're talking about tomorrow.
Wentz, all right. How about tomorrow? How about tomorrow? Who are you taking?
Tomorrow, I'm taking my third cousin. What you think?
The point I'm making is that if that's going to be a close game, and I think it is going to be a close game, I'd rather have Wentz with the ball with a couple minutes left than Kirk Cousins with the ball with a couple minutes left. That's got to count for a few points tomorrow.
That's not going to happen. Tomorrow, Wentz is going to get punished. Remember that.
All right, I'll remember.
Punishment it is.
Do you want a trivia question today?
You want a shot, Kilroy? Yeah. One of my questions here, right?
Yeah, talk to me.
All right, how about this one? Our boy Bill Belichick, right? In his NFL coaching career, Kilroy, he only has a losing record against two teams. Can you name one of them?
Coaching career. Well, he coached with the Giants. So
in his head coaching career. Head coaching career, he only has a losing record against two teams. Can you name one of them?
Can I name one of them? I'm going to say the Giants.
All right. The Giants is correct. Giants is
nailed
correct.
It.
Good job, Kilroy. Good
Sit
job. Hold
tight,
on.
Kilroy.
Stay on the phone here. We'll get you good stuff. I guess there aren't many Chickies and Pete's in North Carolina.
Well, we'll see what he can do. We'll see what he can do. I'm sure that he might come up.
Maybe we can spin the wheel here and give him a...
Oh, yeah. We can spin the wheel. Get him a hat. Got to get you in. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Kilroy feeling really good about his Vikings.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. One name we haven't mentioned yet is Dalvin Cook, and I think he'll have a lot to do, Joe, with how this goes. The
success or failure, I guess.
He's second in the league right now in running the ball, and it's amazing. Everybody knew if this guy could just avoid getting hurt all the time that he was going to be a special runner. And he certainly is right now. The Vikings averaging 5.4 yards per attempt. They're second in the league in overall rushing, 832 yards. So they're averaging 166 yards a game, and he is the driving force behind it. I think Philadelphia has to control. They got to put Kirk in second and eight situations.
Well, and I think they talked about every time the Vikings throw, they win, which I tend to think is the case. But Philadelphia has been a team really, really good in terms of rush defense with featured backs. I mean, coming into last week's game, featured backs were averaging 2 yards per carry. You've got a team in Philadelphia that now, I think it's between 2 and 3. Feature backs still not doing a great job against Philadelphia. So that's one of the reasons why I'm not all that intimidated. The Vikings offensive line is nothing to write home about, not going to be able to clear out holes for Dalvin Cook. That's why I do think it's going to end up being, as you alluded to, a Kirk Cousins versus Carson Wentz matchup.
Yeah, and I think Philadelphia, look, I think they showed a lot of moxie. That was a heavy, heavy win Thursday night against Green Bay on the road. The Eagles showed, and you and I, we talked about that a few weeks ago. When the Eagles get on the road against a high-profile team, they seem to play really good. I mean, even, well, I shouldn't say just on the road. The higher profile of the game, generally, the better the Eagles seem to play. And, boy, they're going to need that now.
Yeah, there's no doubt. They get ready for it in a big way. Let's go to Chuck in Vegas on 97.5, the Fanatic. Good morning, Chuck. It is early for you, man. You are dedicated.
Hey, guys, I love the program. Every Saturday morning, bright and early, I listen to you guys. You guys do a great job.
Thank you, pal.
Yeah, and, to Kilroy and the rest of these Vikings fans who want to pump out their chest, look, we like the Vikings. You guys laid an egg 2 years ago. Last year, they absolutely choked to let us in the playoffs. So, I'm cool with the Vikings. So they seem to have a problem with us.
Yeah, exactly. That seems to be the way it goes. It's all one-way hate, Chuck. I don't know what it is.
Kirk Cousins. Yeah, guys, Kirk Cousins is 23rd in the league right now in passing. So he's not exactly lighting it up. But he's got a 68% completion percentage. That might be the most useless statistic in the NFL, his completion percentage. I mean, what does that mean?
Yeah.
They're dumping mostly the Rudolph and Cook or whatever. Who the hell can't do that?
You're right about that. And to be honest, I can't get much of a feel for this game. I don't know what's going to happen. So I was looking elsewhere. I was looking at Seattle and Cleveland. I don't think the Seahawks are quite as good as their 4-1 record, but I think they're pretty good. So, usually I would think maybe they take a step back here. But here's the thing. Okay, they played on Thursday night. The Browns played on Monday night. Both teams are traveling back and forth, West Coast to the East Coast. So I think the Browns on a short week and the Seahawks on a long week, I think that could be beneficial to Seattle. I think they win and cover that one.
Look, Chuck, that's next level stuff, man. Good stuff. appreciate it, man. Thanks for the phone call.
It is true, though. What he said is true.
The long week, short week.
Teams on Thursday night, teams that are coming off a Thursday night win are 10-3 against the spread versus teams that are coming off a Monday night game. So how about that?
That's pretty remarkable.
So Chuck is he's in the right town.
Yeah.
To be stating those kind of things.
I wonder if
an 888 number.
I wonder if he picked out a Pat Callahan selection for this morning. We'll have to see if Chuck is prescient there.
Yeah.
And of course that's something as well that we can talk to Paul Nolan about to see how much that weighs in on their decision.
Do that, and I want to talk to you in this hour, too. I want to get into this thing about, Joey, about quarterbacks. Man, I think it's interesting that, we just reflexively now in this league say, you got to pay him, right, because he's a quarterback. Well, let's just think about it. And I want to talk to you about, has the emergence of Kyle Allen being 3-0 as a starter this season, and are your boy Gardner Minshew being at least 2-1, and Teddy Bridgewater the same way? Is it maybe making you rethink this axiom that, no, don't pay running backs, don't pay offensive linemen, and give the quarterbacks whatever the hell they want?
Yeah, it's kind of funny how that's been the status quo. And we've talked about this before, how there might be a paradigm shift here that's happening. But no one seems to be listening to us.
No, it's true.
Say it a little bit louder
true, yeah.
At this point. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Jam-packed show today. We've got Paul Nolan, Sal Palantonio, Gary Cobb coming up at 10 o'clock. We've got, of course, the Jim fantasy Mack. Segment with Jim McCormick. And I know, listen, we're going to give you advance warning for Jim McCourt when Jim's coming up, because we've gotten fantasy calls after Jim's gone. Right. We want you to be able to talk to the expert.
Good. Excellent.
It's Pat Callahan. It's Joe Torti. We'll be right back after this. It's This Week in Pro Football on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, Callahan and Torti back here this week in pro football. Week number 6 in the National Football League. Here at the fabulous Sportsbook at the Parks Casino in Bensalem. I want everybody to come by and see Joey and me. Joey's first Holy Communion today. Very exciting. And spin the wheel. Come see Eric, Kevin, and Mike, and you can win yourself, what do they call it, Joey, in your generation, swag. Right?
Prestigious prizes. I'm reading the wheel. I see such treasures as cup, hat, and bag.
There you go.
So there you go.
There you go.
Some of that stuff.
All right. Here's a treasure right here. That's our boy Paul Nolan, the purveyor of freewinners.net. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, gentlemen.
All right. Sound a little under the weather there, Paulie. You okay, pal?
I'm fighting off a little bit of a cold, but trudging straight ahead.
That's right, pal. We need your A game. I will not accept a Paul Nolan C game here, so I know you're going to suck it up. And let me start you with this, Paul. I always like to hit you with some, because I know you probably are awash in all this arcane statistics stuff. That the line on Green Bay-Detroit, when it opened at 6 points... And it has since dropped. It has since dropped to 4.5. Now, so my question to you is: the Packers are one of those teams, right, Paul? Like the Packers, the Steelers, the Cowboys, that the public loves to bet. And then when a line drops like that, that means what they call sharp money, right, is going the other way. Is that right?
Yeah, it does depend. Yeah, sharp money did actually hit this game early on in the week. But it looks like it bought back. So there's really a difference. Like the misnomer is it's not just money that moves the line. A lot of times it's just a sharp player. Like there are people out there who are real respected who, even if they make a moderate bet, you know, an even keel bet, a couple $1,000, they'll move the line based on their respect of their opinion of where lines should be and what values there should be. So, but a lot of times the public can move the line, but not as abruptly as sharp money. But this line did find its level water. This line probably won't move off of 4 much further.
Paul, one of the things that we're looking at, obviously, a caller brought it up earlier, is travel, right? We were looking at a game, that Cleveland-Seattle game, where there's one team that's on an extended period of rest, one team that played on Thursday night, one team that played on Monday night, all kinds of stuff to consider. How much of that goes into when you're making selections, or are those games that you tend to stay away from just because of the unpredictability of how those teams are going to respond?
No, great question. It factors in, and your travel does make a difference. Last week we really were very strong on San Fran on Monday night, and it was a really strong game because it was a perfect storm with the way Cleveland's traveling back. Now that clock comes back from the West Coast home. If I could be honest with you, if Cleveland would have taken that kind of beating on Sunday night, I would have a 4-star largest play I could possibly have on Cleveland. That loss of day is actually hurting the value of this game, and that's one of the free picks I'd give out today. I'd take Cleveland plus the points as a freebie. It's a pretty good storm for a team that got embarrassed. We did see a couple friends of ours who were very close to that team said they're really kind of changing up the route schemes and the route trees. I guarantee we'll see Odell Beckham get a couple short, quick slants, get him the ball within a second. The ball will be leaving Baker Mayfield's hands quicker this week. That's what they worked on in practice all week. I mean, he's holding the ball way too long, and there's a massive overreaction. Sell, sell, sell on Mayfield. The whole media is pounding him. Everyone's pouncing on him, and now the line goes from them -2 in the look-ahead line to +2. I see good value in this game. But that makes a huge difference. Having 10 days to prepare as opposed to, and then losing, on national television, winning on national television and then losing on national television, there's definitely an overinflation on Seattle right now.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's an interesting game from you're right, a lot of different angles. And Paul, the specific point you mentioned there, I mean, how about some maturity on that team? And then sideline, Joe.
Yeah, no.
You know, you're at the 5-yard line and you said, no, I'm not going to throw to Landry. I'm not going to throw to Beckham. I'm going to throw to a guy who just came off a 4-game suspension who promptly pops the ball in the air and ends the game when the 49ers pick it off and run it the other way. Come on. The Browns need a massive dose of maturity. But by the way.
Kitchens trying to be everybody's buddy. We talked about it in our show on the first week of the season that this guy's just not prepared for this many egos. So.
Yeah, you're right. By the way, Paul's a big sponsor of this high-quality program, so I want everybody, please, let's get on the phone to this guy, 1-888-366-3733. Paul, the local team here is at Minnesota. So many things in play here. These teams are not frequent opponents at all over their entire history. Give me some thoughts about what to look for in a game like this.
Well, that's one of the things that really is taken into account as well. Teams who don't have that frequent familiarity with one another. You know, you go back to the Cleveland game, and Wilkes has done a great job containing Russell Wilson in his time with Arizona. I mean, he held him down to 4.9 yards per play, you know, in the last two times he played, and 5.1 in the last five aggregate. So it makes a difference. And right, this game here is a perfect example of matchups. There are severe matchups here that are outstanding. Like, Philly does a nice job against the run. Minnesota needs to run. Kirk Cousins is terrible on heavy pressure. And obviously, you know, Fletcher Cox and that gang, you know, Sweat and you know, the kid looked pretty good to me. And Brandon Graham do a really nice job against the Civ offensive line. And then we know what's going to happen with Cousins. He's going to throw balls away. He's going to see ghosts on plays where he doesn't have to. So this is this is the ultimate matchup game of the week, in my opinion. I wouldn't be surprised to see Diggs getting involved. He was on the field for less snaps last week because he was punished. I expect to see a bounce back game from him. Really tough game here. I mean, this is tough.
Speaking with Paul Nolan of freewinners.net, what's really, just generally speaking, Paul, what's jumped out at you week six-wise as you look at all the lines? They're one that you think, that doesn't sound right.
Well, to me, right away, Cleveland didn't sound right to me out of the gate, which, you know, we talked about. Also, yep. I know it's going to sound ugly, but the Jets didn't sound right to me. You know, the Jets are a team that had a quarterback in there who was so graded so low on our system. I mean, he was worth minus 2.3 points a game, and Darnold's worth plus 7.5 points a game in his team. So that team averages 22 points a game with Darnold in, and like I think it's like 10.5 without him. So to me, that just felt like an over-exaggerated line. So we caught that plus 8.5 early in the week, and now it's 7 or 7.5. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, that felt like an overinflated line. Like even last week, Green Bay, I think I told you guys Green Bay on the air, that line was a mistake. I mean, we felt that was a mistake because the overreaction to Devontae Adams being out.
But at the same time, Paul, I mean, couldn't you just use the same theory about Dallas was embarrassed? I don't get how close that game was last week at the end, but they were embarrassed by Green Bay. Wouldn't the same Cleveland theory apply to the Cowboys coming in and playing the Jets?
Yeah, you know, it does to a degree. There's no doubt about it. So it's a really fair question, but the one thing is physical matchups, too. So it's not just perception. It's not just what the public sees. It goes beyond that. You know, there's still the physical matchups of it all, and that offensive line is banged up. And Dak, as much as we like him as a young man, as a leader, as a quality human being in a locker room, a stabilizing force, I mean, he's not Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz, you know, is a guy who, I think 9% of his passes have been dropped. You know, he's not getting any drops, and you know, early in the season, going against softer defenses and softer teams in general, and now he loses his offensive line, and when he's under pressure, you know, he's way more likely to throw an interception. He's way more likely to throw a ball out of bounds. So to me, you know, the play action starts to disappear, and that team really lives on its play action with Dak Prescott under the helm. So if his offensive line is 100% healthy, yeah, I stay away from this game. But to me, it's another example of, you know, that Jet defense is not as bad as people think. It's just they're always on the field, and they're always rushed and pressed against the clock, and they're always battling, and, you know, they just can't get, you know, they can't get a breather on the sideline because that team just offensively can't get first downs. So I do see them getting first downs. I see this defense getting a blow. I see this team fighting like this is their Super Bowl to a degree, especially with the lack of familiarity between these two teams as well.
Paul, if people need more information from you, they like what they've heard and they need more, how can they get in contact with you?
It's really simple. We give a free weekend pass. The staff is really hot. And the college, like right now, the college free picks are 10-3-1 on the year. And there's really no catch to this. If you guys want to get involved today, the free picks, it starts with they'll get the Oklahoma-Texas game, they'll get USC-Notre Dame, and they'll get Penn State-Iowa. It's 3 for free, guaranteed. They'll get those games. And then on Sunday, they'll get 3 more games for free. And then Monday night, they'll get that game as well. We get a weekend pass, give guys a try on the free picks, and they're really solid. The free picks have done well in the last 10 years, and they're welcome to call 888-366-FREE. It's 888-366-3733. We won't let them down. Guys here are all gentlemen. Everybody here is honorable, and everybody here does the right thing. If you give us a call, you won't regret it, because we will definitely have a better opinion than 99% of the people out there and, you know, in the public.
All right, Paul, I appreciate that very much. 1-888-366-3733 for Paul Nolan. I want you to get well, Paul. We're going to need you again next week, all right?
Thanks, gentlemen. Have a great day.
All right, thanks.
All right, there he is, Paul Nolan of freewinners.net. Plenty more of This Week in Pro Football when we return. 610-632-0975. What do you think of the Eagles-Vikings game? It's Pat Callahan and Joe Torti on This Week in Pro Football.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, Callahan and Torti back here. This week in pro football, week number 6 of the National Football League. 97.5, The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. And Joey T, where are we on social media, pal?
At TWIPF Pat, at Joe Torti, at Tyler Zuli.
All right.
And, of course, you can catch up with the podcasted show at 97.5thefanatic.com.
All right, so, I mean, it's a big game tomorrow. I'd like to know, you know, if we get the phones going, 610-632-0975, how are you going to come out of this three-game swing? How are we going to come out of this swing? What do we, the Eagles, need to come out of this swing? The consensus seems to be 2-1, and it'd be better if the loss was Buffalo. But I guess you better start with this one, Joe. You better start with this one and try and get a W here. And that's a tough, tough spot. You know, I just don't like the fact that Cousins is such a streak quarterback. And he had a good game last week, and they are two pretty good wide receivers he's got there.
Well, people are deeply concerned about the wide receiver matchup against the Eagles' corners. Understandably so, considering the fact that Craig James did not play all that well last week. Not a shock, considering where he was 2 weeks ago. But when you're looking at this game in general, that's the matchup that Eagles fans tend to be most worried about. People point to Dalvin Cook as well, but the stats don't bear out that Dalvin Cook's going to eat you alive. Now, maybe he will, but and he's certainly the best running back that the Eagles have faced. But the offensive line is not that great in Minnesota. There are a lot of things that I think the Vikings can be had. That's why I feel better about this game, I feel like, than most people do in the Philadelphia area.
Well, what is the prognosis for the Eagles' DBs to get back? I mean, when are these starters like Mills going to actually return to play?
Well, the prognosis, I mean, who knows when these guys are going to practice, but Mills could be back, in theory, like any time now. Week six is the pup kind of cut off, so any time now that they'd activate him, start practicing and things like that. I anticipate that he probably helps just in terms of slotting people a little bit. There's still no word on Craven LeBlanc and what his recovery looks like, things, but there are, conceivably, you'd think that there's help on the horizon. Even if you don't necessarily count Sidney Jones as help whenever he gets healthy.
All right, so, Joey, I want to talk to you about this issue that I brought up, which is the quarterback thing. I mean, does it strike you that this long-held consensus, especially in this era of major, major contracts, and now this, you know, these quarterbacks making $30 million a year. I went to overthecap.com here, Bags, and I counted. There are 13 not including Tom Brady, there's 13 quarterbacks with a cap hit this year greater than $20 million.
Okay.
13, okay? It's almost half the league. And because you gotta exclude TB, of course, because he has 6 Super Bowls. But of the other 13, Joe, they got 7 Super Bowl wins between them, right? And of course, that's primarily Big Ben. You know, Ben has 2 and he's been in 3, but he's won 2. Eli's won 2. Eli's in there. Now, that must be great for the Giants. But here's some other names that are making this kind of money. Matthew Stafford is the number one cap hit this year, $29 million. Kirk Cousins, $29 million. How about Phillip Rivers, $23 million. Derek Carr, of all people, $22.5 million.
Yes.
So my question to you is, the relative success of Minshew, but the out-and-out success of Kyle Allen and of Teddy Bridgewater, should it make GMs maybe rethink this edict that you got to pay the quarterbacks whatever it takes?
Well, I've always thought that if teams don't identify the right guy to pay, it's making 2 mistakes. If you're going to pay somebody big money and it's not the right person, those are 2 mistakes that you made. If you draft a quarterback determined, like Paxton Lynch. Paxton Lynch didn't kill the Broncos. There are a lot of other things that are killing the Broncos right now. But they draft Paxton Lynch
that's
in the first
right,
round.
That's a failure. It's a bust.
They don't give him the money. They just identify early on that it's not going to be it, and you move on.
Right.
And you try to find the next thing.
Right.
Not saying Flacco was a great choice either, but there you go. So there are guys like Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes hasn't won anything yet. I think that Patrick Mahomes is worth whatever. Whatever you need to do to get that guy under contract is fine. But you point to guys who are, you're dead on. Matthew Stafford, probably not going to win you anything. Phillip Rivers, people talk about how underrated Phillip Rivers is. Phillip Rivers' underratedness is getting overrated. And then, like Derek Carr, guys that are getting paid the big bucks that are not going to be able to do it, or in some cases, like Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, not going to be able to do it anymore.
Right.
So there's a sweet spot of guys to pay, but I agree that too many guys are getting paid.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think general managers should look hard at this, especially when a quarterback, you know, I'll give you 2 examples. One, I think the Rams got themselves in a bad spot with Jared Goff, and they paid him, and I think they're going to regret it. Now, Jared, I think he's a very good quarterback, but sorry, $30 million? No. And then on the flip side, there's guys who you just mentioned, like Eli, Ben, that are, you know, they hit the peak, now they start to get the downside, but meanwhile, they're still getting these $30 million, $20 million contracts for while they're going down.
Right.
I mean, you look at Carolina now. They got Cam Newton has a cap hit this year of $23 million. Kyle Allen.
And they can't go back to him.
Kyle Allen, $495,000. Now, is there a $22 million difference between Cam Newton and Kyle Allen?
No.
Yeah.
Absolutely
right.
Not.
So I think there's a window here for general managers to say, you know what? I could save a lot of money on my salary cap. I could bulk up my O-line. I could bulk up my D-line. You know, just yet, I'm not saying a game manager, but I think the way the game is officiated now, Joe, and the way the game is called, that you just need you could get away with a good quarterback who can take advantage of the frequent flags and the illegal chucks and the defensive holdings, and meanwhile bulk up the rest of your team and
sure.
Play quite well.
Well, it's a philosophy that I've advocated for a long time, is that you build the race car and then you find somebody to drive it because the race car is good enough, as opposed to getting, you know, an Andretti in a Toyota Camry or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter how good Phillip Rivers is, for instance, or Matthew Stafford is. And by the way, I do think that Matthew Stafford's a good quarterback. I just think that the way that things are set up, sometimes if you ask guys to do too much, they're never going to succeed no matter what. Like, the perfect storm was in Seattle, right, where Russell Wilson comes in, beats out 2 guys, one guy that you acquired as a free agent and another guy that you traded for, big-time money guys. And Russell Wilson comes in, is the right guy for the job, but Seattle's good enough to the point where if you just take care of things, Seattle's going to do just fine.
I think
that that's the blueprint.
You're right. I mean, who made the better trade here, Joey Bags? The Chiefs traded 2 first-rounders and a 3rd round to go from 27 to 10 to take Patrick Mahomes, all right? 2 picks later, the Texans traded 2 first-round picks to move from 25 to 12 to get Deshaun Watson. Who made the better deal?
25 to 12... It's a great question. Probably the Chiefs.
Man, the Chiefs made a bold move. See, now there you got to give Andy a ton of credit. You got to give him a ton of credit. he jumped up, he got that guy, and look, he's got his guy now for, like you're saying, I mean, he's a guy you're going to have to pay. I shouldn't say transcendent, but he is, I think, going to be a serious player for a dozen years.
Well, he's both the best and the best young quarterback in the, you know what I mean? He's in both.
Powerful combination, that's so. Right. But I think there is a lesson here to me for a blueprint. Now, the question, Joe, is, will it get you the hardware? Does it get you the Lombardi Trophy to do what I'm saying to do? You know, and that is a dicier thing. But to me, Joe, you know, you want to get to that 12-4. You want to get there. You gotta have depth. You gotta have offensive line. You gotta have a defensive line, and then you build out from there.
Two teams that are hanging in the balance who have this question facing them right now: Mitchell Trubisky and the Chicago Bears, and the Dallas Cowboys.
That's
and
correct.
Dak Prescott.
You got it right.
Those are the two. It could go either way at this point.
Serious wheel spinning going on here, Joey.
You can hear it. You can hear the wheels. T-shirts being given out. There are cups and hats and everything.
Flying off the shelves.
At the fabulous Parks Casino Sportsbook. It's Pat Callahan. It's Joe Torti. We'll be right back after this. It's This Week in Pro Football on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.